ओमजानातिमरंदस्य ज्ञानंजनासलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोदिष्टं अर्पितं येन भूतले अयं रूपा प्रजामायं प्रजाति सापदन्तिकम् अददामश्च नन्दन्ते इदं याचे पुनः पुनः श्रीमादूपापदं भोज विलिशं जन्म जन्मनि पराग्ययुग्भक्तिविषं प्रयत्नाय अपायं मामनदीप्समन्दम् कृपम्बुधेया परदूकदूति सनातनस्थं प्रभुमाश्रयामि पञ्चाकौपाथरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभयेभ्य च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव घोर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे हरे Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 1. We don't need to do this responsibly, but I'll just say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Shri Gopa Uchu, Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna Dushta Vibhadana Eshavai Badate Shunas Tachantim Kartim Arataha. The cowherd boy said, O Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Purport. The cowherd boys jokingly implied that since Sri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things, the Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. This statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate loving friendship they enjoyed with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, thank you all for joining our conference. Greetings to everyone and their families from Govardhan. Here in Govardhan, this is the day after Kartik, the morning after Kartik. It's 7:30 in the morning, and as I know many of you, today, after the class, I go back to Vrindavan after being here for 5 weeks. As I'm giving the class, those of you who know where I stay in Govardhan, I have a beautiful view of Govardhan Hill, probably the best darshan in a place called Dangati, the place of the tax pastime. And it's very nice to speak, and it's very nice to do bhajan and do service in front of Govardhan, because it really invokes a mood of humility. Giriraj is so majestic, but not only majestic, he's the embodiment of full sweetness, because he's Haridas Varya. He's the most excellent servant of Lord Hari, which means that he not only actively serves Krishna by his full body, but he does it with the intention of pleasing Krishna. Real service. Service means you want to please someone, is not just the actions, but the strong intention or desire to do service. And therefore, in front of Giriraj's presence, his omnipresence here in Govardhan, it's very easy to feel inferior or humble. And humility is actually the secret to spiritual life. Because spiritual life, the real taste of spiritual life, is to feel mercy in relationship to Krishna. And in relationship, Krishna means Krishna, his differentiated energies, and his devotees. It means to feel inferior or humble. And I wrote something on realization. You may have read it, but I'll share with you that mercy is the distance between what you get and your feeling of qualification to have it. So the more humble you feel, the less qualified you feel for the thing that you are, for the wonderful thing you are receiving, the more mercy you will feel in your heart, and the more love and affection you will feel for the object or person that bestowed that mercy upon you. Therefore, in the third verse of the Shikshastakam, can everybody hear me nicely?
Yes, very well.
Okay. Because I hear there's some static. If everybody can hear me. Okay, if everyone can hear me nicely. So that's why that third verse of the Shikshastakam is so important. Trinada pi sunichena, dorora pi sahishnana, amanina kirtanina, amanina madanena kirtaniya siddhahari. That one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name constantly. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. Kirtaniya. I remember one time I saw one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Bhakti Vala Bhupuri Maharaj, and I guess he was reading Bhagavatam, and when I came in, he's a nice Vaishnava. Remember, he kept on saying, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, Kirtaniya. It means you can chant constantly. Why? Because you're in association with something that you have affection for, which is Krishna, in the form of the holy name. And you're feeling affection for Krishna in the form of the holy name, because when you're chanting the holy name, you're feeling humble, and therefore you're feeling mercy, and therefore love flows from your heart. And this is actually the key to bhakti or devotional service. It's to feel inferior, but this is not akin to a lack of self-esteem. A lack of self-esteem is a psychological condition where you may be feeling inferior from a psychological standpoint, but your desire is coming from the desire that you really want to feel inferior. You really want to feel to be the enjoyer. But humility is not just from the psychological standpoint. You're actually from the standpoint of knowledge. And you're actually satisfied in that position of humility. It's not that you're feeling humble, you're feeling inferior, but you actually want to feel superior, but you're actually satisfied in that position. Why? Because that position in relationship to Krishna and his devotees allows you to experience their mercy, and therefore invokes within you a sense of love for Krishna and his holy name. And therefore, it's recommended. I read this in Bhakti Sandarbha. It recommended, what to do when the guru, the spiritual master, leaves. And it recommends, well, you should find someone who's like-minded and compassionate or kind to you. Why? Because it's a bhakti movement. And Jiva Goswami makes the point that if you feel kindness, you will feel love. So we have to feel kindness from the devotees, from Krishna, from the deities. And to feel that kindness, to feel the value of what they give, we have to have a humble state of mind. So this is one of my meditations here in Kartik. This is the day after my vrata, is to consciously, when I see Giriraj, bow my head. Actually, sometimes the actions we do can invoke the feeling. That's why we fold our hands together when we see something that we respect. Because when we fold our hands together, it means these hands are for you. It invokes the humble mood. That's why devotees pay obeisances. We may not feel humble, but when we bow our head, when we prostrate our body, it helps us in that mood. And if we're conscious, then that will also help. I remember one of my godbrothers. He was a very simple, he was a simple and scholarly person, but he had a lot of service when he was in Vrindavan. A nice devotee, and he was overwhelmed with management responsibilities. And then one day he kind of left for Govardhan, and he told me that. You know, what his mood was, is every time he would, of course he came back to his service, but every time he would see a devotee, he would cry. Every time he would chant the holy name, he would cry. Every time he would see a devotee, he would cry. Why? Because he was a humble person, and he was understanding the value of a devotee. He was understanding the value of the holy name. He was understanding the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, he was feeling their mercy. And therefore, it affected his heart, and the emotion of bhakti or devotion came. This is so nice. Radhanath Swami, Srila Radhanath Swamiraj, emphasizes service to the devotees. One time he did a Govardhan Prikram here at Govindakund, and Bhuri Jam Prabhu told me this, that he lives on the top of the house. He has a room of Vraja Bihari and Ananda Vrindavan, and she's a disciple of Maharaj. So she went out there to Govardhan Hill. She came back, she saw Bhurijan, and Bhurijan said, well, what did he speak about? The Bhurijan was expecting it maybe some pastime, etc. He said he spoke for 2 hours on service to the devotees. And Bhurijan said, oh, that's right, he's a very good teacher. Because a good teacher, if he wants you to understand something, he repeats it again and again. But the point is, why? Why service to the devotees? Why the mood of humility? Because that gives us access to the mercy of the objects we are approaching for their mercy. This is the secret of spiritual life, and this is very, very much the pranali online of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. And why am I speaking this and being inspired to speak this even before I go to the Bhagavatam is because Bhurijan Prabhu is my guru for Shastra. I watch how he teaches. And when you come to the subject of the 10th canto, the mood of Prabhupada is to help people develop the qualification to actually access it. And the key to the Krishna's pastimes is the mood of humility. And that's why even when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once asked, what is our Siddha mantra? He said, Trinada Pisa Nichena Karoda Pisa Hishnana Amanina Madhanena Kirtaniya Siddhahari.
Why did he say that? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said that we should wear this around our neck. There's one very nice devotee in Vrindavan named Kormarupa Prabhu. One thing I like to be in Vrindavan is there's many sadhus here. And that's actually why I go to the Dham. I have no qualification to access the Dham, but the people who can live here. And in their association, you gain access to the Dham. He's a very nice devotee. He takes care of Krishna's cows. And when he read this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't know if I'm promoting this now, an advertisement for tattoos, but he tattooed it around his neck. He took it literally. Trinada peace, anitena. So this is our mood. Our mood our mood, our pranali, our path to access the Bhagavatam is the mood of service. Bhakti means for others. If you look at the sandarbhas, bhakti sandarbha, and I believe it before all the sandarbhas, it's so nice that when Shiva Goswami gives his introduction to the sandarbhas, first of all, what does he say? I am doing it for Rupa and Sanatan. This is the mood of the Vaishnavas. The mood of the Vaishnavas is that it is for others. And that's why Prabhupada so much emphasized for us in our a mission of Krishna consciousness so that we can live our life for others. And in living for others, we will live for ourselves because we will cultivate the mood of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is not an ordinary thing. A person who commits himself to Krishna and his devotees through the Guru Parampara. It's not an ordinary thing. One time a disciple of Prabhupada glorified him and said, "Oh Prabhupada, you are so great, you are so wonderful, you are such a great devotee." And Prabhupada said with conviction, "No. No. I am just a servant." But that is what a Vaishnava is. He's just a mood of servant. He sees everyone, and actually at the highest state, he sees everyone as serving Krishna more than him. So this is actually our mood. And therefore, by Prabhupada's mercy, and by our dedication to others, we actually approach the Bhagavatam in the proper frame of reference, because what the Bhagavatam is about is rasa. And what is rasa? Rasa is the intensified mood to serve. And the intensified mood to serve is also the utmost level of humility. And therefore, Srila Sanatan Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita says that there's no difference between daimya or utter humility and prema bhakti. Our goal is prema bhakti. And therefore, we're hearing the Bhagavatam, and we're hearing the 10th canto, and we're hearing about this rasa, this perfect love. Why? Because as we qualify ourselves for Krishna consciousness, our goal becomes love. We actually start to develop an interest. Those of you who are here listening, late at night in America, maybe not so late at night for America, but those of you who are listening to this, it's a good sign. It's an interest. And by hearing with interest, our interest increases. And when our interest increases to the maximum degree, that's called prema, or love. So when you hear about what you are interested in, it increases your interest, and this is the secret of bhakti. The secret of bhakti is to hear about the sentiments which we aspire for. And by hearing about those sentiments which we aspire for, we also develop those sentiments. I'm going to share something with you now, because I'm so thankful that you could all come and hear the class. It's actually engaging me, the Prabhupada service. I feel gratitude and thankfulness to all of you. So I'll share something with you that I've been studying. It's the same move. The first class here is about accessing the Bhagavatam. I've been studying this book, Bhajan Rahasya, and it's by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has, in all his temples,
there's background noise. I can't hear you.
Oh.
Somebody's doing something that's coming through and like static.
How bad is it? People can't hear? If you're not getting a good connection and it's disappearing, then hang up and try to get a good connection. Because if there's one weak connection, it will affect it. But okay, at least I got feedback that we're hearing pretty good. We'll work out the kinks. So this Bhajan Rahasya is... We'll make that clear, Amritananda, on the next thing, that people should really test their connections.
Yes, Father.
Sananda, can you hear
me? Yes, Father, I can hear you.
Okay. So this Bhajan Rahasya, it's, and this is one thing I would like to do with people. I want to go through the Bhagavatam, but I don't want to be restricted to that. And if I have realization, I want to share. Amritananda, you can still hear?
Yes, Father, I can hear you.
Okay. I can see sometimes that static. Well, anyway, this Bhajan Rahasya with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and I said Bhakti Siddhanta had it in all his temples for Kartik. And that was the mood of his mission, that people would preach vigorously. And in Kartik, the sannyasis, they would come to the Dham, and they would perform Nima Seva, which means regular activity, increasing their chanting and hearing, and they would study this book. And what this book does is it combines four things very, very nicely. One, there's eight couplets in the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's eight couplets. So he connected each couplet of the holy name with a verse of the Shikshastakam, with a level of spiritual advancement, and with the Astaka Lila, or Krishna's eightfold daily pastimes. So the way it works, and it's actually applicable for everyone, first, at a particular time, let's say from 3:30 to 6 in the morning, that's the Nishant Lila. That's when Krishna wakes up. So that's the first couplet of the holy name, which is Hare Krishna. But the first thing is you really make an effort to concentrate on that first couplet in your chanting. So you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare. It's not so exaggerated. But by doing that, by focusing on one couplet, it psychologically gears your mind for concentration, and you hear the whole mantra even better. instead, you can think of the verse as a shikshastakam, which exemplifies a particular stage in devotional service. So the first couplet is shraddha, or faith. So the verse of the shikshastakam, the first verse, exemplifies faith. Eto darpanam marjanam. Baba Mahadavadni Nirvapana. Faith. What is faith? That by chanting this holy name of Krishna, Cheto Dharpana Marjana, my heart or Cheta means the heart or consciousness will become clear. Like a mirror is clear, it reflects the objects in its proximity. When our heart becomes clear, it will reflect the form of Krishna. Is that disturbing again to people? Or you can sit here.
I hear you, Maharaj.
Okay. We're going to have to ask next time for people to check their cell phones. As long as you can hear, I'm enthusiastic to speak.
You can hear very clearly.
Okay, so here's what happened. So we're meditating on that this sound vibration that we're chanting, it will actually clear our heart so we can actually see ourselves and we can see Krishna. Faith means to trust in something sublime. So as we hear these words from Lord Chaitanya and are focusing on our chanting, we are getting confidence that what we are chanting will give us this wonderful treasure. And the first verse of the Shikshastakam has seven treasures. Shreyakairaiva Chandrikaranam. It will, like the holy name is like the full moon, which shines on the white lotus which blooms at night. So the holy name will shine on the lotus of our heart, and devotional ecstasy, our eternal relationship with Krishna, will manifest. So they're very nice. So we're hearing, and as we're hearing, we're thinking how nice it is, this holy name, this is the goal. And then the last thing he says is that as that mood, because the holy name, it starts from the heart. So as the proper heart of faith is developing, the holy name is, we can still hear everyone?
Yes, Father.
Okay, then I won't be disturbed by that. As we're chanting and as we're gaining faith, then because the Bhakti Siddhanta said chanting is bhakti, not bhakti, that as the heart is becoming faithful by understanding these are Lord Chaitanya's words, then the mantra begins to manifest in that mood of faith. And that mood of faith is the qualification to approach Krishna's pastimes. Of course, in our neophyte state, as we're developing faith while chanting at that particular time, may just recognize that Krishna is waking up, that this is my aspiration. But he says at the stage of bhava, when you chant the first couplet, it will actually be a key to actually manifest that pastime and our service within that pastime. So according to our qualification, while we're chanting and meditating and that faith is developing by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by the mercy of his words, then we'll have some approach, some recognition that it's actually a real life that's going on, which is actually Krishna's eternal pastime, which is actually the life that we want and aspire for. And then as one becomes more mature, because the name, within the name is the form, which is within the form is the qualities, which is in the qualities of the pastime, as we mature and as we read more and more about Krishna's pastimes, then the name will actually manifest those pastimes. But the point I'm making is this is the process of bhakti. We have an interest, and there are verses and stories which perfect that mood, and by hearing them, we enter the pastime. So now I'll enter this pastime a little bit. I had some notes here, and I didn't speak one-tenth of even the introduction of what I wanted to, but that will come in the future. The Cowherd Boys said, Cowherd Boys, they have their love for Krishna. So they're appreciating Krishna in their love, which is Saktiras, their friendship. And in friendship, one thing you express love and appreciate love is the mood of chivalry, Veera Ras. But they're saying to the Cowherd Boys, are saying, oh, Rama, Rama, mighty armed one. Mahabaho, Rama, Rama. Oh, Rama, Rama. That's Balaram. Then he said, Mahabaho, Krishna, oh, Krishna, Dushta, Irvadvina. Oh, Krishna, who is what? Destroyer of the wicked. Oh, Eshava Badate. Our hunger is causing us distress. This is actually so interesting. They're approaching Krishna, and our hunger is causing us distress, but actually it's causing them great joy. It's just like a child. If his hunger invokes his mother to love him by giving him good food, then his hunger is actually a precursor to great pleasure. Especially when he goes, Mommy, Mommy, I am hungry. I am hungry. And the mother lights up. Oh, I can help my child. I can give him some nice food. So the Cowherd Boys, this is all rasa. Jiva Goswami said, there is nothing in the Bhagavatam but rasa. There's nothing but this heightened pleasure, this heightened love which we aspire for. So, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and Khartoum Arata, you ought to do something about this. Plus, you have to do something about this. Why? Because hunger is the greatest enemy. And Krishna, if you are chastiser of the wicked, if you kill all the great enemies, then, oh Krishna, you prove that you're chastiser of the wicked, because if you can kill hunger, you can kill anything. But what is the real hunger? What is the real want that we have in our heart? We're all seeking shelter. Shelter means need. But what is the actual thing that we're lacking or wanting? The actual thing that we're lacking or wanting is love in our heart. And for the love in our heart to be satisfied, we need the worthy object of love. So actually, the hunger and Krishna destroying the hunger, it's our hunger for love. Because he is all attractive, which means he is the most beautiful person. And the most beautiful person has a full heart of love that can perfectly reciprocate our love. So Krishna destroys our hunger by giving us love, especially through his devotees who are the manifestation of his Kripa or mercy Shakti. So Krishna, look at the love, Cowherd Boys, Ram, Almighty Armed One. Oh Krishna, chastiser of the wicked. Oh, the two brothers are so powerful. You kill our enemy, hunger, and you should do something about it. And actually, these words of Bhagavatam, when we hear the descriptions of Krishna and devotees, it actually satisfies our hunger. The next verse, because I thought we don't have so much time, we'll do another verse. Shri Sukha Uvacha Iti Vigyapito Gopai Bhagavan Devaki Sita Bhaktaya Vipabhayaya Pasidam Idam Abhavit. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the Cowherd Boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki replied as follows. Desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmin wives. Let me read that. Sukadeva said, thus entreated the cowherd boys. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, replied as follows. Desiring to please certain of his devotees who are Brahmin's wives. So this is what we want. We want our eternal relationship with Krishna. And who has an eternal relationship with Krishna? Ipra Bhaktaya, his devotees. He's desiring to please his devotees who are the Brahmin wives. And he's also desiring to please the cowherd boys. Because the cowherd boys asked him for food, so what is Krishna thinking? Yes, let me get food for my devotee, and at the same time, by getting food for my devotee, let me send them to my devotees. Because I want to please my devotees. So this is the mood of Krishna. He's always focused on pleasing his devotees. And which devotees? Just entreated by the cowherd boys. The devotees who approach him for love. And here, it says, see them, desiring to satisfy. This is Krishna's mood. Krishna's mood is he wants to satisfy us if we want his love. If we want Krishna's love, because Krishna is a person, and the very definition of a person is one who reciprocates love, and the definition of the Supreme Person is one who can supremely reciprocate love. Prasidam, he's desiring to please certain devotees, who are the Brahmin's wives. Now, who are the Brahmin's wives? Brahmin's wives or his devotees. And he's desiring them to please them. Why? Because they are lamenting in separation of him, and they are near death. Near death is a symptom of their love. It means in separation from Krishna, they want to die. Golden Dagara Haina May. In your absence, the whole world is vacant. When does the world become vacant? When you see no value in it. So a devotee becomes spiritually depressed and sees no value in his life when it is bereft of Krishna. This is a very high platform, but we can apply it. When we are feeling the separation from Krishna, then nothing has value without him. Just like the gopis. And the gopis saw Krishna in the coils of the Kaliya's serpent, and they saw that he was lifeless, and they remembered his smiles, his glances, his loving dealings, and now they thought he was gone. Kastadutam, they were tormented, sunyam, and their life felt like it would be nothing because it is without Krishna. So this is the devotee, and this is the devotee's mood of bhajan or chanting. That we should understand the value of Krishna because he's the absolute reality. And because he's not in our life fully, because we don't see his form before us, and we don't feel our relationship with him, we have to lament. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, one should chant the holy name as a child who is crying for his mother. This is the mood of a devotee. So, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining now. He's going to send the devotees to the Brahmin's wives. Now, I'm sorry I only got a little bit here, but maybe it can be a meditation. We can meditate on those Brahmin wives, and they were on the border of Braj. They need various things. So they actually, no, they actually, when there's a sacrifice, you need so many things. So whenever there's a sacrifice with the Brahmins, the gopis come to sell their flowers, to sell their milk. And when they came to sell their flowers and milk, the village talk in Brudges, oh, what are you doing? The Brahmin wives asked, and what are the gopis doing? As they're selling milk and they're selling the flowers for the sacrifice, what are they doing? They're singing. They're constantly singing Krishna's glories. So, and therefore, the Brahmin's wives, by hearing and constantly sing Krishna's glories, they became very, very attached to Krishna. And when they became attached, the symptom was lamentation. Anyway, there's one other point I'd like to make, because I'm not going to keep people over the time, although some may say we can go into the night. But I think it was a good start here. But one thing about my speaking is, which is a little difficult here, is I speak according to the frame of reference of the audience. So I generally, you know, when you're speaking and people are before you, you can kind of subtly, any speaker will know this, see their little reactions, et cetera, and understand what they're understanding and what they're not understanding, and then help them understand what you're saying. It may help build up their frame of reference. So I request anybody that was on the conference today, because we'll find out the numbers so we can get an idea how to book it. I don't think we overbooked. But just drop me a line and just say that, you know, you were on the conference. So I'll get a view of who's there. And if someone's on the conference, because some people are on my mailing list that I don't know personally, you could send a letter and just tell me briefly something about yourself, so I actually know who's on that conference. I have a 9:59. I said I would go to 10. There's a lot more I could say, and I can go. I'll just make one other point here. And next time, hopefully, we can do more Leela or pastime. The whole idea is, in bhakti, is to purify our consciousness, our intelligence, so that we can hear purely. And what's hearing purely? Hearing purely means without prejudice. And what creates prejudice in our consciousness? It's a lack of proper knowledge and understanding, and it's material desires which create an agenda. And therefore, Prabhupada naturally was a little bit cautious, seeing the nature of the people in Kali Yuga, that because the intelligence wasn't purified, and what to speak, the Bhagavatam itself follows the process of going through 10 cantos so that you can hear the 10th canto purely. Because right at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says, Param Satyam Dhimahi, Param Satyam Dhimahi, that we should hear the absolute truth. Param Satyam is what? Param Satyam is Radha Krishna, because there's actually nothing that exists ultimately besides Krishna and his energy. Krishna is Shaktiman, the complete absolute reality. And Radharani is the Purna Shakti. So Param Satya Dhimahi means we should meditate on Krishna. But Dhimahi says the Gayatri Mantra, which is meant to help one become liberated and advance in Krishna consciousness. So Param Satya Dhimahi, that's actually the goal. But to actually hear properly, one has to be purified of attachment, which creates the agenda, and ignorance or lack of knowledge, which creates the prejudice. So when a teacher speaks, as he's speaking the truth, in dialectic with the student, he understands the student's, I don't want to say agenda in a motivated way, but his attachments, and he sees his lack of frame of reference and knowledge. And therefore, usually good communication in spiritual circles is a dialectic. And part of that dialectic happens in the class, and part of the dialectic happens by hearing regularly. So not seeing the audience and not exactly knowing who is there hinders me somewhat. Amitananda?
Yes, Maharaj.
You're out there. Of course, the conference is booked for much longer, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
We can go on. I think it's the maximum of 3 hours.
I can go on, but it's 10 o'clock at night there. I'll just make one more point, and then I'll end to today, because I'm also here in my morning program. Just one nice good news is I've been going and speaking in the morning at the Sanskrit school that was started by Gopi Pranadana and the BBT, and it was 20 students, and I was so edified that we're doing this in ISKCON, and they're learning. They have a full program, it's a real school, and such high-quality people. And it's and there's no tuition. If people are going to dedicate themselves to studying and learning, they'll be fully supported and they're taken care of nicely. And it's very, very humble devotees. And I thought, in reference to the early point I was speaking, this is Prabhupada's mercy, and this is what the story is going to be about. What this story is going to be about is, and I'm going to finish in 5 minutes because people work and they do so many things. What this story is about you have to be a devotee. Why? Because even your dharma or your assets, if you're not in the humble mood of the devotee, like these Brahmins, they were learning. Instead of taking the knowledge and using it in Krishna's service, if you're not a devotee, you will use it for yourself or your false ego. So even your religion can become an impediment if you're not a devotee surrendered to Guru and Krishna. Because you will take even your religion, so to speak, and use it for motivated means. I was actually, and this is the story, the Brahmins' wives, they didn't have the qualification and dharma and so many things. Even the cleanliness was questioned because naturally they're wives and they have so many children, they're not clean. Everyone knows when a woman has so many children, they can't keep clean. So they're not clean, they don't know Sanskrit, but they're devotees. And the Brahmins have so many attributes, but they're not devotees, so whenever they get, by the trick of the false ego, when you're not a devotee, it means false ego. What is false ego? Whatever I have, I use for myself. And therefore, even when someone thinks, Prabhupada said, he's humble, when someone is humble, or thinks he's humble, then he says, I'm the most humble. Look at the false ego. It tricks the person to take even their good qualities and use it in an antithetical way. So his Sanskrit school, which is led by Gopi Pranadana, is so nice because he himself has no desire to be a scholar, even though he's the greatest scholar. He just wants to serve Prabhupada. And therefore, he only takes what can be used in service, and the students are following in his pastime. So it's actually, it's thinking in a very nice way. Okay, I'm going to let you all go. I have a message. If Dave is there, her husband's in the room. Okay, your husband's in the room listening to the class here. He'll call you in 10 minutes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Amitananda?
Yes, Maharaj.
I'm going to go now. In the future, I'll think perhaps. If any of the students write me, they can tell me if they would like to have some questions. Then we can end the class and then have maybe 10 or 15 minutes of questions. I'm going to end now. Vansha Kopa Tarubyas Chakra